now, where we'll go to this awareness that's aware, and then when we're aware from the awareness that's equally inside and out, this will be our first experience of it, but if you practice this one called non-dual balance, you're aware of the awareness that's inside and out, the thoughts, feelings, sensations, and sounds, movement inside and out, and your breath as like the touchstone. From this awareness that's inside and out, it will balance your default mode network of your brain. You'll be mindful of contents and context. You'll be aware of inside and outside, and you won't be going distracted into daydream. And that's kind of an effortless, mindful awareness of thoughts, feelings, sensations, but also with your eyes open in the middle of your day as you walk around. So it's kind of an off-the-cushion transition. Yeah? So does that make sense? That's kind of the first you're aware of contents, then you're aware of context. First, we're aware of. So if you just become aware of your body just as it is now, of your sensations, thoughts, feelings with your eyes open or closed, and just feel pressure, feel pleasant, unpleasant, feel sensations coming, going, feel thoughts. Notice thoughts coming, going. Notice if there's some sleepiness or pain anywhere. Notice if there's some dislike or like. Notice if there's any parts of you that are judging or planning or thinking. And just accept your body and your mind and the contents just as they are, without trying to change them. And then simply, kind of curiously, turn your awareness or rest back to be aware of what's aware of sensation and thought, pleasant and unpleasant, of sound outside, sensation inside. Just become more interested in this awareness. And just notice that the awareness is not sleepy. Notice the awareness does not come and go. Notice the awareness is not in pain, neither likes nor dislikes, just accepts, naturally accepts everything, can be with everything. And then just notice they're both here, that you're aware of the awareness, and then from the awareness, you feel this aliveness, embodiment, with your body, just as it is, pleasant, unpleasant, sleepy, awake, alive. So you feel this simultaneous primacy of awake space, and then energy, and then matter. And just notice that awareness is equally aware inside and out. And it doesn't have to alternate, noticing the sounds outside, noticing the feelings inside, but this awareness that's aware from everywhere. Yeah? So just curiously, where are you aware from? Where am I aware from? Just looking with awareness. And then noticing that awareness is equally aware inside and out. Awareness is inside and out. Experience is inside and out. And then there's just a touch point of your breath, just lightly, within the field of awareness. Just noticing how it's happening by itself. How breath is from outside to inside. So what do you notice when awareness is able to be aware from everywhere and not need to alternate looking inside, looking outside? There's a seamless feeling. Of being interested in that awareness which is already outside and inside. So if you're doing anything, your local awareness is interested in that effortless awareness that's aware without your help, that you're then aware from. Just that little interest in the awareness that's aware by itself. Little resting back, little effortless surrender to that which is aware from everywhere all at once. Of space that's awake, of energy that's arising inside and out, and of breath that touches your body. So what do you notice? What's the feeling when awareness doesn't have to be distracted and doesn't have to alternate. Anyone have a feeling of that seamless feeling of awareness being effortlessly, equally aware inside that? Just not controlling, not analyzing, not particularizing, just aware of awareness that includes everything. And that awareness, the universe is made of three things: space, energy, and matter. So just feeling that the space is what's awake, most pervasive and inherent within, arising as energy, and then inherent and arising as form, equally inside and out. Just letting go and letting be. Feel that kind of vibration and space. Your eyes are just opening now, just let them be soft. Feel dropped into your fullness of the pervasive, spacious awareness. It's equally inside and out, aware of energy and experiences that are inside and out. Where your breath is kind of a contact that's coming from outside to inside, going to outside, back inside. Staying home as the awareness-based, embodied, open-hearted presence. that welcomes all thoughts and emotions, sensations, without getting on the train or identifying. Feeling the interconnection with what's arising. Yeah, what do you notice?
I love the witness, the witnesser, as a catchphrase, mm-hmm. that I've been saying it as we've been going along, and it really gives me a glimpse, but this is very far from what I'm used to.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a practice.
Yeah, it's a new phase,
it's
new
very different
practice, and very different for most people, right? How many people is this very different for? Yeah, unless you've read my book. Yeah, okay. She bought it today. So, yeah, because this is what, you know, this is kind of what a group of us, what, you know, Jack Kornfeld, Joseph, and Sharon did with more Theravada Vipassana, a group of us are now doing with more Sutra Ma Mudra, this next phase of mindfulness, trying to make it more contemporary, more accessible, available, bringing it together with science and making awakening the goal, rather than just stress management, making it more about the potential for relieving suffering at its root, which is really what this is about, that the root of suffering is this operating from this small separate self that can be calm, that can be soothed, that can be, but ultimately needs to be upgraded to this awake consciousness. And when it is, then the witness, what was the witness, becomes witnessed, and it becomes a small part of us. Yeah, so this is the psychology practice that follows in terms of the embodiment, is that you go from a feeling that I'm a small separate self to no self, to this spacious, pervasive open-heartedness, and then you come back and you have many selves, or many parts of yourself that arise, not one self, but managing parts, protective parts, inner children, subpersonalities that are your embodied personality, but none of them are you. None of them are what was the ego center before. It's just these, you know, early, you know, cranky part, judging part, sad part, that then can be loved and unburdened from their burden of carrying the burden of trying to be you, or fixing things, or having to be carry all the load of being lonely or separate, and then they're looking for you as you're the one they've been looking for. You, this open-heartedness, and when they find this loving presence, they're not alone, they can be listened to, they're unburdened and healed, as a way of embodying a normal human life that has emotion and trauma and shame-based parts and judging parts and protective parts. And the amazing thing you realize from this is that no parts of you are bad. So even the terrified parts, the rageful parts, the angry parts are literally, when you really get to know them, they're just trying to protect you. They're just trying to help. They're just trying to get love. They're just trying, and when you talk to them, then there's be like, oh, I don't have to be that way. There's another you here that will take care of me, so I don't have to be the fighter. And then it's like, oh my God, that's so great. So this is kind of the kind of third phase after the wisdom traditions, the neuroscience, and the psychology, that starts to create this embodied, awake possibility for us contemporary people who have this psychological, cultural history, yeah, that we've all gone through. Yeah.
In your instruction, you talk about inside and outside.
Yeah.
Those seem kind of dualistic concepts.
Yes.
And they seem to kind of be a little sketchy. Yeah. Do you find them useful in life here?
That's the point, is that they're dualistic, and so the idea is to break them down into neither outside nor inside. So the dualistic mind is its pattern is look outside, look inside, look outside, look inside. When you're aware from awareness, which is non-dual, then you realize, oh, there's not an inside or outside. There's just awareness that's equally inside and outside, that's neither inside nor outside. And there's experiences, sensations, sounds that are experienced outside, inside, or neither outside nor inside. So it literally creates this feeling of unity consciousness, or some people call it oneness, non-dual interconnection. But it's having to deal with and acknowledge what naturally happens, which is inside, outside, inside, outside. I'm here, you're there. I'm here, you're there. So we're letting us go to unity.
So you're not cultivating that or using that as a tool. It's more,
yeah.
It's just acknowledging that that's the place you start.
That's right, yeah. So I may have said, yeah, so just to say, it's neither inside nor outside, both inside nor and outside. So when you feel that the awareness can equally be aware inside and outside, that's the state that people who are in flow, like playing sports. I mean, that's the first time I experienced it, was as a kid playing sports. I'd just go into these flow states where I'd just be like a cat and feel like connected to everyone and everything. And then I heard on TV this guy talking about a quarterback on a football team, and he said, he's got eyes in the back of his head. And I was like 14, I was like, oh, I kind of know what that means. What does that mean? And I was like trying to look back there, and I was like, no, that's not it. And then that's where I literally developed this at 14. I was like, oh, just feel back. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God. Boom. I dropped into my body, and I was like, oh, wow, this is it. I just did it intentionally. And then I went and played goalie right after that. I had heard that, and I felt like I could just stay there, and then I'd look through the legs and the sticks, and then my hand would go up, and the puck would be in there. I'd be like, how'd that happen? And then I tried to tell my friend. My friend was like, man, you played a good game. That was amazing. How'd you do that? And he said, you really want to know? I said, well, I take my awareness and I open it up and I have to go back. And he's there like, okay, cool, man. And he walked away. But then one of the seniors on the team heard me. I was like a sophomore. And the next week he came and he threw me this book. He said, here, kid, read this. And it was Zen and the Art of Archery. So that was my first introduction to this, was like, oh, I had this experience of flow, then Zen and the Art of Archery, and it's like, oh, they're talking about the same thing. The hitter and the hit are the same. They're not separate. You just be the, you know, it's not quite like Bill Murray says, be the ball. But it's be the target and the... You just feel when you're aligned, and then you do that by shifting into this flow state. And so it just started me off on like, whatever that is, let's go find out about that. So this is one of its markers, is, you know, whether you do this, or you're aware of the awareness, because that awareness that you're aware from is everywhere, so it's equally aware or simultaneously aware of outside and inside. And so it just feels like that you're interconnected with everything and everyone. It just feels like there's this feeling. And that is like, that's the ground of the new, stable, safe, functional, awake consciousness that isn't going back, triggered back into the judging small mind. It's this, what's called ground of being. So that's why we practice that. We'll do another version of that just to give you a taste of it. But you know, usually people take 3 to 10 times of doing that, but it takes 3 to 10 minutes of doing that, and then people report, you know, they say, I got it, or wait a minute, no, it got me. That's really what happened, yeah. So it's odd, it's unusual, but this is like the reverse engineered practices from the advanced wisdom traditions that that are learnable and teachable.
What you're eventually describing is sort of a grounded flow state. And I'm just wondering, is that truly like continuous in people's lives other than maybe a Tibetan monk?
Yeah.
Or is that something that just becomes more and more pervasive in your life and fluctuates based on, you know, situations in your life?
Yeah.
Or are there gradations of this state?
Yeah, this is kind of called direct recognition, gradual unfolding. So it's not a gradual path, but it's not like instant awakening either. You do these small glimpses, and then it becomes easier. Then the glimpses maintain themselves longer. Then they show up by themselves. Then you wake up and you're in it. Then you're able to do some easier things all the time in it. Then the harder things are still hard. Then the medium things get easier. And then one hard thing, like all of a sudden you're like totally identified, and it's like a pop. And you're like, whoa. You know, like you're in the middle of like some really intense emotional situation, and then it's just like the awareness just shows up like a courageous tiger and goes like, yeah, let's go, you know, and then just like you just start talking and calming everything down and doing this stuff that like, that was pretty cool. I don't know who just said that, but that was good, you know. So it's this, you know, kind of unfolding. It's a gradual unfolding, but you know, it's done by small glimpses and everyone's a little different, but you know, I mean, the general sense is that it can become the new normal, and that's not unusual. And for those who practice it, my sense is now it takes 3 months to 3 years. It's like a developmental phase of like moving from adolescence to young adulthood or something like that. If you do it regularly, you can grow into this next stage of human development, which is called awakening. And that's the ridiculous kind of amazing thing, but it's what's now possible because we have the science and the education and the texts were available that weren't available, and you know, we're kind of able to use our intelligence to experientially discover this that, you know, has always been lived in different cultures. Yeah, thanks. Behind you. Yeah.
I was wondering, so I sometimes have the experiences of glimpse through like musical languages that I'm very familiar with.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, by the time I try to explain or teach through the medium of language, which is very much here, how to translate that through that kind of intellectual understanding of language, the sensation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that in some ways, some of the wisdom maps had pretty good language in that they would say, oh, there's everyday mind, there's subtle mind, there's subtle body, there's pure awareness energy, there's body, but they couldn't put the practices into language. They would just say, well, just rest is awareness, and then it will unfold. It was like, oh, that's not working for many people. So the kind of language becomes experience. You have to feel it yourself and then feel how to show people rather than explain it. You have to kind of create little movements that will lead them there rather than tell them about it. So you can talk about the map and about the traps and detours where you can get caught and what you don't do and what it's not like. And then we got to do the the moving of awareness, or you know, you would have to find within your particular practice what that would, what you do. You kind of break down what you do in your musical thing and then feel into it and then feel how you're out of it and how you're in it. And then try to show people, okay, be out of it, now be in it. And then you'll start to, they'll start to get the feeling of it for themselves. So the role of a teacher is to introduce you to your inner teacher.